morning again, everyone. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to ask you to open it to Acts chapter 28. We're picking up the story of the Apostle Paul heading to Rome. And last week, if you were here, we talked about the shipwreck in Malta. We're going to pick up the story in verse 1 of chapter 28. They've all gotten safely ashore. And this is what Luke writes. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed an unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer. For though he escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." But Paul shook off the snake into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead, but after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. There was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. He was the Roman governor, just so you know. He welcomed us to his home for 3 days, entertained us hospitably. His father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went to him in to see him, and after prayer, placed his hands on him and healed him. When this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. They honored us in many ways, and when they were ready to sail, they furnished us with all the supplies we needed. Father, thank you for this. Thank you for this story, Lord. Thank you for the truth of it. Thank you for the example of it, Father. And as we unpack this and as we talk about the miracle of healing, Lord, help us to have eyes and ears to hear and faith and belief to act. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Nearly a fifth of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are dedicated to the miraculous healings of people. I think I actually have the couple of slides here that talks about some of these things. 3,779 total verses in the Gospel. That's how many verses. You read the Gospels, that's how many you read. 729 related to some form of healing. Healing is a reality in the life of a Christian. Amen? Huzzah is right. One of the names of God is, and this is a Hebrew name, Yahweh Rapha, which literally means the Lord who heals. The Lord who heals. God is a healer. And anybody here that has been walking with the Lord for a long time can probably tell you about a time when he healed them or they saw a miraculous healing. I have an experience when I was a 12-year-old boy. I got my foot caught in a grain auger. I won't go into the details, but God literally stopped the grain auger. Grain augers don't stop. They basically, if you get an arm or a leg caught in it, they just chew you up. This one turned a half turn and stopped. I know it was a miracle. That's why I'm standing here. Because otherwise, if it had turned one full turn, I would have lost half my foot. I know miracles happen, and I know God heals miraculously. I have seen it. I have witnessed it. I have had the privilege of God using me to heal somebody one time specifically. I'll never forget that. God is a healer, and I think as we walk through our Christian walk, we cannot ignore that. Yet, healing sometimes causes us some trepidation because we pray for people and they are not healed sometimes, and that causes us some concern. Last year, 2013, was a pretty tough year for us at the church because we saw some very dear friends die. Two of cancer, one of complications of with regards to another illness. But talk about Dennis McCarthy, Huel, you remember them. People that we love dearly and we lost them, and we prayed. I remember right down here up front, we prayed deeply and sincerely for Dennis one day, one afternoon. Lots of people came. We prayed over him. We wept over him. And we had to watch him die. So this challenge when it comes to healing and this concept of healing sometimes causes us a little bit of concern. And we're like, well, wait, what's going on here? Why can't God just heal? Why can't he just heal? I want to be transparent here simply because I think all of you need to know that as your pastors, we're not perfect. And we're on a journey just like a lot of you are on a journey. And when you're on a journey, when you're walking through your walk, sometimes you're going to come up against something that you don't have an answer for. So I'm going to say right up front, I'm on a journey. And I wish I could tell you why Dennis wasn't healed. I wish I could tell you why Huel wasn't healed. I wish I could tell you that. I wish I could tell you why some people are healed and some people are not. I can't answer that. I know someday and one day God will. And I know there's a lot of different camps when it comes to healing. In preparation for this message, I've done a lot of research and looking, and I actually went on a healing crusade. It was a weekend. I went up with some friends to Ohio and was party to a couple of healing services, and saw some people healed and saw some people not healed. And so there are some people that will tell you that it's just all comes down to God's will. Whatever God's will, that's it. And of course, what naturally tends to happen when we say it's just about God's will is that you can tend to just not even try. You can say, you know what, why are we even, you know, it's God's will. He's going to do what he's going to do anyway, so why should we even pray? So I know if you just throw it over to God's will and say, well, you know, he's going to do what he's going to do, I'll use the vernacular, I call that a cop-out. There are others, and I've done, again, some research, that there are other camps that will tell you that there's something we're not doing right. There's something we're not doing right. Pastor Sean and I addressed this with a person who's not in this congregation, but a person that basically told us that the reason people were dying in our church was because we were not doing it right. I don't know about you, but the God that I serve doesn't sit on his throne and look at us and go, almost, oh, no, yeah, you got 3 numbers out of 4 right. He's gone. Healing is not a combination. However, there are things that the Bible tells us to do when it comes to healing. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk a little bit about the things that I know to be true when it comes to healing. And then I'm going to take a little bit of a twist on healing, because I'm going to talk a little bit about how healing and our responsibility to preach the gospel comes into play. You guys with me on this so far? All right. Well, let's jump into this. So we've already read Acts, and we talked a little bit about the power of healing, and we talked about how healing was such a vital part of Jesus' ministry. I just throw in some examples out here, so if you want to just, if you want to write some of this down, or if you want to go back and read later on, Jesus healed people, and that was part of him proving that he was indeed the Christ. Matthew 8, the leper in Galilee. Matthew 9, the paralytic in Capernaum. Matthew 12, the man with a withered hand. Can you imagine that? A hand all withered, deformed from birth, just made perfect. Just grown out right in front of their eyes. Man outside the temple who was born blind. The 10 lepers. You guys remember the 10 lepers? 10 of them were healed. How many came back? Yeah. Thanks a lot, right? Thanks a lot. But Jesus healed, and it was a huge part of his ministry. Now, something that's interesting, too, is that when Jesus sent out the disciples, this is what he said to them. This is part of the commission of the gospel. In Mark 16, 15 through 19, he says, "And then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone." This would be the gospel. this would be the primary thing. Go, get out, go, and preach what? The good news. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. Then he says this, these miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name, and they will speak in new languages, and they'll be able to handle snakes with safety, Dana, and they will, and if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. There's stuff in my fridge, I think, might qualify. And in the last statement, they will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed. Now, you might look at this and say, so what's the whole deal with the snakes, and why is that even brought up, or whatever? Listen, some people literally use this, and they build a whole religion around this, snake handling. Dana will handle snakes, but not for those purposes. By the way, the lifespan of a pastor in the snake handling churches tends to be rather short. And that's not going to happen here anytime soon. He said, these signs will accompany what? And those that are preaching the gospel. Right? He gave this and gave these things as a tool. You know, casting a demon out of somebody is a tool God uses to free them from bondage. We know that the gospel is freeing. Anybody here that was not or did not know about the gospel and first received it, you can tell it was freeing. It was like chains coming off. We sing a lot of songs about chains coming off of us, being freed, because that's what it is. I was on the phone yesterday afternoon with a friend of mine. He was actually one of my college teachers. And we both came out of a legalistic church. And we were just talking about how freeing it was to no longer be under the law and under the condemnation of the law. The gospel is freeing, okay? When you understand grace, you understand the law, as we determine it. It's not a burden, okay? Jesus Christ and following Christ, that is a willful burden we take. That's one thing we become a slave to, and we love that. But he said these things will follow those. Look also in Acts 14. We're talking about the book of Acts. We're going through it. In Acts 14, look at what it says here. The same thing happened in Iconium. Paul and Barnabas went to the Jewish synagogue and preached with such power that a great number of both Jews and Greeks became believers. Now, you might say, such power, what do you mean? They were just great preachers? No, I believe that when we talk about power, we're talking about that dunamis power, that Holy Spirit, the power that comes along with that. Some of the Jews, however, spurned God's message and poisoned the minds of the Gentiles against Paul and Barnabas. In verse 3, look what it says, but the apostles stayed there for a long time, preaching boldly about the grace of the Lord, and the Lord proved their message was true by giving them power to do miraculous signs and wonders. One of those miraculous signs, as we know, was healing. It was something that accompanied the gospel on a regular basis when people were out there teaching. Now, I want to talk quickly about a passage of Scripture that a lot of people bring out when it talks about the healing. And I know I'm going to step on some toes here, and I'm just going to ask your forgiveness right up front. I have always heard this passage in 1 Peter 2:24. It says, he personally carried our sins in his body to the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds you are healed. I am somebody who likes to dig into the Greek and the Hebrew, and I want to understand what those things mean. A lot of people will take this scripture and they will say, see, it means that we can have physical healing. Listen, we can have physical healing without this scripture. I want to make that clear right up front. But sometimes we drop this scripture and we totally pull it out of context. Because I went there, I stuck this in my sermon, and I was going to, you know, go ahead and preach on it. The Greek word aomai, it's a nice tongue twister. Caused someone to achieve health after being sick. It literally means to heal physically. Okay, I was talking to somebody not too long ago about in the English word right, R-I-G-H-T. I can say, tell you to go down that street and turn right, or I can tell you to do the right thing. You have to look at the context of how the word is being used. Now, literally in this one, there is a figurative meaning for this word as well. So this scripture can really be interpreted both ways, because in Matthew 13:15 it says, for the heart of his people has become dull, the This is quoting in Isaiah, by the way. With their ears, they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return. All talking about something going on here and here, right? It says, and I would heal them. The word that was used in the Greek to translate the Hebrew was the same word heal, but it wasn't talking about a physical healing necessarily. Now, I say that I'm real sensitive about this because some of you have said that's what that scripture means. I'm saying it can mean that, it can mean both. Okay, a lot of times you look at context, and the context here in verse 24 of Peter, he says he personally carried our sins in his body to the cross so we could be dead to sin and live for what is right. He's talking primarily about salvation. Okay, but regardless of that, I simply bring that up to say, regardless of that, we have the promise of healing. Okay, we have the promise of healing, and that promise, one of the scriptures that a lot of you already know is this one right here. This is one of many promises. And this is the one that I hung on when I was preparing this message. And when I told you right up front that I'm on a journey when it comes to healing. Like I said, I'm learning. I'm asking God to show me and to show me how he can use me and he can use the whole church to heal. And that's what we'll talk about here in a minute. But I want to talk about this because there's some characteristics and some elements of this scripture that are really powerful when it comes to healing. James 5, 14 through 16, he says, are any of you sick? Can I ask that question here? Are any of you sick? Some? Boy, are we really healthy? Some of us are sick, right? Some of us have, whether it's a cough, whether it's a cold. Well, yeah, we definitely have some sickness up here. Especially those people that cheer for. Now, I won't say that team's name. The Gators won yesterday, by the way, by 1 point. But whatever, it's a win. Of course, Robert wanted to point out the FSU just destroyed their opponent. But it was Wake Forest. Who cares? Anyways, it says, are any of you sick? We have sickness in the church because we get sick. It happens. You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Okay, aomai. Okay, this truly means physical healing. The earnest prayer of the righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Now, this scripture is God-breathed, right? This is God's. So can we believe this? Yeah, we can believe this. I do. I have no choice but to believe it, and this is one that I want to believe. Sometimes you read something and go, ooh, this one I want to believe. So there are some things about this scripture and about some other scriptures that I really begin to see, that when certain things are done, healings happen. So one of the first things is faith of the one that's seeking healing. You probably are thinking of healings that happened in the Gospels where Jesus actually said, your faith has made you whole. Well, let's look at a couple of those. Matthew 9:22. Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, this is the woman that had the issue of blood that sought him out through the crowd and just touched the corner of his garment. It says, daughter, be encouraged. Your faith has made you well. You can pull Greek words all day long, but what that says and what that means. There is an element of faith that has to be on the person that is asking for the healing. Okay? Now, I have seen people healed that didn't believe in Jesus Christ. Have you? I mean, there's lots of testimony. So I'm not saying this always has to happen, but I'm saying that there is an element of this, and Jesus himself points it out. Look in Mark 10:52. This is the man that was healed from blindness. And Jesus said to him, go, for your faith has healed you. Instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. Now, I don't know if he was an unbeliever before. I get the sense he was an unbeliever, because everybody knew Jesus was a healer. In fact, I could tell you that if we advertised that Jesus Christ was coming to the Church of Whistling Pines to heal, and assuming that it was not the pseudo-Jesus, like it was an actually Jesus Christ, we would have a line of cars stretching from here to Chicago because they would come. Why? Because they know Jesus heals, right? So this man obviously came seeking out Jesus because he was blind. And he heard that he healed. And Jesus actually recognized that and said, your faith has made you whole. I don't know what happened to this man or how he got there. I don't know if he was just there and Jesus walked by him. I don't know if he had to walk 20 miles to find Jesus. I don't know. I have no idea. Can you imagine how hard it would have been for a blind person in that day to travel? I mean, who knows how much effort he went to, but he believed. And so the faith of the person that's seeking to be healed is a part of it. I also noticed that healing happens when there's obedience. Now you might say, well, what do you mean obedience, Scott? I'm going to point this back to those of us who God can use to heal people. Have you ever hesitated to pray for somebody? I'll give you an example. It just happened this morning. So we walk in today for practice, and my brother Mickey is not doing well today. He's not feeling well. Headache. He had a terrible migraine last night, and he's not feeling well this morning. You can look at that, and you can say, oh, Mickey, I'm sorry. I hope you're feeling better, man. Can I get you something? You know, I got some Tylenol extra strength, double super duper capsules in my trunk if you want them or whatever. Or you can say, I'm going to pray for Mickey. Now, I did. We did. We prayed for Mickey. Now, Mickey's not recovered yet. He's not healed yet. But we prayed for him. And so sometimes what happens is we tend to hesitate to pray for somebody because of our own unbelief, maybe, or maybe our lack of obedience. Because if I just believed what I read in James, James says, if there is any sick among you, bring him to the elders, and we're going to pray for him. Now, some of you say, well, does that mean we have to, you know, only the elders can heal? No. Why do you think he said elders? Well, I think what he was identifying is that the people that were set up as elders were spiritually strong, mature people. And James is probably saying, bring them to the elders. But, you know, because these people have been discipled, they're walking strongly with the Lord, and they believe, they have the faith, and boom. But it doesn't mean any of us can't heal. Anybody can heal. It's already given to us. We have that power to heal. I don't know how long ago it was, but we were talking about the Holy Spirit, and I had a stool here, and I had a pitcher, a clear pitcher, and then I had a jug of water, and I said, what is being filled with the Spirit? What does it mean? So I filled the thing up about this higher from the top, and I said, so is that full? And of course, some of the smart people said, no, it's not. So I filled it up a little bit more and got it right to the top. You know that little effect where you can actually see it, where it's above the rim? And I said, this is what God gives us. And I poured it all. We said, and it has been told, it's written in God's word, I should say, that we received everything we need. We received the fullness of His Spirit. We have the ability, through the power of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, to heal. We have that. I know we have that. But one of the things we don't do is we don't obey and walk in faith. And I say we because I'm at the front of that list. I'm at the front of that list, brother. I ride my bike 3 times a week. I've mentioned that many times. This past week, I was coming back. I'm on Highway 19, and so I go into Eustis, and I'm coming back. There's a trailer park right before you get to Winn-Dixie. I can't remember what it's called. Really nice little park. And I just like, okay, I guess I got to go in here. So I rode in. There was a lady there walking. So we stopped, and I felt like I was supposed to pray for her. So we stopped, and of course, you never know what you're going to run across when you do that. But I said, hi, my name is Scott, and I'm riding my bike here, as you can tell. I just felt like I was supposed to come in here and pray for somebody. And you're the first person I saw. So do I need to pray for you? And she looked at me and she said, I love the Lord and I love Jesus. And I'm like, well, thanks, God. This is going to be an easy one. So we talked, and her husband was not feeling well that morning. And so we prayed for her husband. But I remember thinking as I was turning that bicycle in, and I'm thinking, this is uncomfortable. You know, why don't I just go home? You know, and I can pray for people that, you know, God tells us that we're supposed to obey. And if he tells you to do something and you don't do it, it's a miserable place to be. I stopped at a business on the way up here one time to ask for to get some supplies. And I'm talking to the man, and he happens to explain that he's going through cancer and he is still healing. But he, you know, the surgeons had done their work and everything, but he was still having a lot of problems. And I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, oh, boy. Okay. So of course, the first thing I think is, I need to pray for this man. I didn't know. He said a couple of kind of minor cuss words as we were talking, and I'm thinking, well, maybe he's not a Christian. I don't know. And I just said, no. I'm going to ask him. And I'm going to say, I'm going to ask him if I can pray for him. So I literally said, hey, I said, I'm a Christian, and I believe God can heal. Can I pray for you? And he looks at me and he says, absolutely. And I'm like, thank you. And so we prayed for him. And afterwards, as I was walking out the door, he said, thank you for that. And I got on my bike and I said to God, I said, why? Why don't I do this all the time? What am I afraid of? Someone to tase me? Hi, can I pray for you? What are we afraid of? We're afraid of someone going to say you're a kook? Really? I'm showing love to you because I want to pray for you, and you think I'm a kook? That's okay. If you've got a lot of friends in this, you got a lot of friends in this world, maybe you aren't the kook you're supposed to be. Mark 6, verse 12, Jesus sends his disciples out. Okay, he sends them out. He says, so the disciples went out, telling everyone they met to repent of their sins and turn to God. And they cast out many demons and healed many sick people, anointing them with olive oil. I love this scripture because it's all about obedience. Can you imagine the disciples? This is Mark 6, by the way, fairly early on in their ministry. Can you imagine Jesus say, okay, I want you guys to go out. I want you to do what I've been doing. They're like, I don't think so. I'm not ready to go solo yet, God. Do you mind giving me a little bit more time on the bike? Nope. He's like, go. Anybody ever heard a child pray for somebody? It's the most amazing, beautiful thing. They don't have a lot of time behind the wheel. But they love God, and they're going to be obedient. Sometimes I think we should have our kids pray for us more often. I also noticed that healing happens when there's anointing and prayer, usually anointing of oil and prayer. I've quoted some of these scriptures already, Mark 6:13. Of course, they cast out many demons, healed many sick, anointing them with olive oil, what it says. Also, if you go back to James, we already talked about anointing and praying. We see that. Now, you might say, well, is there something special in the oil? Now, I know there's some oil, there's some things that are going around that's like special oils, and I understand that. And if you've ever done a study, by the way, into oils, certain oils do have a lot of power. But the reality is, oils aren't going to cure somebody of cancer, okay? When you pray for somebody, I mean, oils aren't going to grow a hand back, okay? They're not going to get somebody out of a wheelchair. So when we talk about oil, it's primarily significant. And it's symbolic of God's Spirit and His power, you know, the anointing falling on top of that person. Healing also happens when the gospel is proclaimed. And this is where we're going to end up. I noticed as we were going through the book of Acts, I just decided to go through and look at the different healings. And so the book of Acts talks about the growth of the church, but primarily it talks about the spread of the gospel. Don't miss that, by the way. We've called this whole series Acts of the Sent Ones. What were they sent to do? Absolutely. So some people think, well, the Acts is a story of the early church. It's really the story of the spread of the gospel. And, of course, building the church, because the church's primary goal is to share the gospel, right? Acts 3, lame man healed. Acts 5 talks about Peter's shadow healing people. Acts 8, more lame people were healed. Acts 9, the crippled man named Aeneas is healed. Acts 10, it says, healing all who were oppressed. Acts 14, man with a crippled feet healed. Acts 19, Paul had the handkerchief that he's anointed and sent out. Acts 28, the father, as we just read, of the Roman governor is healed. The spreading of the gospel, one of, as we read in Mark, one of God's primary tools is healing. And I know we're going late, so I'm going to try to wrap it up. We did a treasure hunt not too long ago, actually a long time ago. If anybody knows what a treasure hunt is people get together, believers get together, and we pray. Individually, collectively, we just pray. And we ask God to show us something. Something he wants us to do that day, that night, whatever it is. Show us, whether it could be anything. It could be, show us an image of something, whatever it is. We've talked about this before from stage, but some of you are new, so you might not know this. So we did this about, 8 years ago. No, it was about a year and a half ago, whatever. So we met over there, and Lynn was there. A few other people were there. How many people were there for that treasure hunt? Yeah. Yeah, Charlie was. Because Charlie and Lynn and I got hooked up to do this. So Lynn gets a vision of certain things. She sees a dress with a pattern on it, right? Oops. Black woman, two children, Payless shoes. Now, when she said that in the meeting, she's going, I don't know what this means, but this is what I see. And we're like, oh, really? Okay. So we decided we're going to go to the mall. So Charlie and Lynn and I get together. Charlie, what was yours? Zebra print and red. Mine didn't happen, by the way, so I'm the last person to talk, but I can share somebody else's testimony. So we start walking down, and we're walking through the mall. We start at Sears, and we're working our way down, and Lynn is just like antsy. She's like, we just got to go. I just feel like we got to go now, because I'm like, well, we'll just walk through the different stores. She says, we really need to go to Payless. I'm like, okay. And so we walk in there, and there's a black woman with two children, and she's got a box under her arm. She's going to buy some shoes, one or two pair, whatever it was. But there's a man with her. And she didn't see any man. She didn't see anybody else. So she goes, I don't know. I know. I guess Charlie, I think it was Charlie, just said, go. So Lynn's like, walks up and says, excuse me, and introduced herself and said, I just feel like the Lord wants me to pay for your shoes. She thought it was a single woman, right? This woman looks at her and just like, what? And she says again, listen, the Lord told me I'm supposed to pay for your shoes. And she says, okay. So Lynn paid for the shoes, and then we walked out and sat down in the center there in the big the aisle, and we started talking to them. That wasn't her husband. That was a man, a friend of theirs, that she, the woman, had asked to buy shoes for her kids because she couldn't afford them. And the little girl was wearing a leopard, zebra print dress, and there was red on her as well, I think. And Lynn tells her this. And when this woman tells Lynn her story, Lynn just realized it's exactly what I was supposed to do. Now, that required obedience on a couple of levels. Number one, obedience to show up here for the treasure hunt. Number two, the obedience to truly say what she saw, what God gave her. Which, it's like if you're like me, sometimes is this really from God or is this just me and my active imagination? Number three, it took obedience to get in the car and go to the mall. Number four, it took obedience for her to say, no, guys, we need to go straight there now. Because if we had waited another minute, we would have missed them. I can't help but think that that person's life was impacted by that. Was it a healing? No, it wasn't a healing. I bring it up as an example of obedience. Because truly, and by the way, we got to tell them about the gospel. She got to share the gospel. The fact that God loves them. And a lot of times healings can be accompanied with that simple statement. God loves you. He wants to heal you. He wants you to have all the blessings that you can have and freedom. It's accompanied with a gospel message. And it almost always, inevitably, it goes with it. So when I think about that, and I think about this thing of healing, sometimes as believers, we tend to relegate healing to the church. You know, let's have a healing service. Some of you may have come here thinking we're going to have some healing service here today. You know what? We will. Anybody wants to be healed? We want to come and we want to pray in faith and we want to pray for your healing. We will. But I'm here to challenge all of you, all of us. I'm here to challenge myself that if you want to see God heal, maybe what we need to do is open our mouths and proclaim the gospel. And maybe, as Buddy Walker said a few weeks ago, we need to get outside the walls of this church. Now, please, I'm not here to try to make you feel guilty. I'm just sharing what the Lord's been sharing with me. And he's been sharing it with me first. Okay? I am by no means a perfect example of this. In fact, as they always say, it preaches first to the preacher. I just know that we want to be more obedient. And I want to be more obedient. And by the way, you don't have to wait till Pastor Sean mentions and talks about a treasure hunt to go do this. You can do it today. I know people, friends of mine, that literally, no matter where they go, they're looking for opportunities. And they see some old person walking around, or maybe it's a young person that's obviously got something wrong or whatever, and they'll just walk up and they'll say, "Excuse me, you're bent over. You have some pain? Is there..." "Yes, I do." And I'm like this, "Pray for them. Pray for them." Now, what if they're not healed? Everybody's looking at me. Well, what if? What if they're not healed? What if you don't try? What if you don't walk out in faith? Then they're never going to be healed, right? And you know what I know? God rewards faithfulness and rewards obedience. And at the least, you know what? They'll know that God loves them because you get to tell them that regardless. You guys following me? You tracking with me? I want to close with this scripture in Romans, which I think is really powerful. This is the Apostle Paul talking, of course, to the Romans. And he says, "Therefore, I glorify in Jesus Christ in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done. By the power of signs and miracles through the power of the Spirit, so from Jerusalem all the way around I wasn't going to try it this time. I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ." Look what he said. He said, "I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ." He was literally saying, everywhere I went, I proclaimed the gospel of Christ. And by the way, that came along with signs and wonders and the power of the Holy Spirit. Because Paul realized he couldn't do it on his own. He had no power to do it on his own. I don't have any power to do it on my own, except Christ who lives in me. Okay? "It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundations." Brethren, I'm challenging us today, the Church of Whistling Pines, that we quit trying to focus so much on the clubhouse. And that maybe what we need to do, if we are to begin to be obedient, if we want to see God work in healings, maybe we need to go out there and just be obedient. Now, you might say, "Well, okay, so what's that look like?" As I said, you can start today. I've been starting on my bike ride. I stopped and told a man one time that God loves him. He said, "I respect all religions." I said, "Well, God loves you." I just took off. It didn't floor him. He didn't fall on his, who knows? But I just told him. And the more you're obedient and fulfill what God tells you to do, what happens? The more he tells you. I want to be a useful tool. And the parable, what you talked about, the talents, really comes and rings true. Bow your heads with me. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for the fact that you love us, even though we are inadequate at times, and our physical and the physical things around us get in the way of us believing. Father, we repent for our unbelief. And Father, we ask that you would forgive us for the fact that we have not been obedient, maybe, that we have not been bold, and that we have not taken your gospel message out and allowed you to use these promises. Because those promises were not just to the disciples, Lord, they were to all of us. Father, help us to be bold now. Help us to look for those who need healing, Father, those who need you more than just physical healing, Lord, people that need your spiritual healing, that need to be redeemed by you, Father. Help us to be bold. And if it's healing you want to draw them back with, Father, help us to just pray over them in faith and believe that you're going to do great things. We love you for that, Father. And now today as we end, Father, we're just going to ask that those who want healing, those that desire healing, those that want to experience that, or those that just want to be prayed for, to be bold and to give them the courage, as Paul had, that we all get together and we pray for one another. We encourage one another. And we pray in faith for those that are sick. And we pray in faith that we can be bold as Paul was bold. We love you, Father. We ask this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, through whom all things are possible. Amen. Anybody who wants prayer, you can come up. We're dismissed now.